One of the first things that we teach our kids, in our education program, how we try to, one of the first lessons that we teach them is to be grateful, to say thank you. We always say, like, what do you say? Thank you. Also, the other words, please. It's interesting because we talk about kids, but even for adults sometimes, to say thank you, it doesn't come naturally. To be grateful sometimes doesn't come naturally. And especially in our society today, when we're dealing so much with this thing that we call entitlement, when people feel entitled to things like that, it's my thing, so I don't need to thank you for. And so we strive to teach our kids to always be grateful for the things that they have, to say thank you, to show gratitude for the things that they have. You know, very soon they take it for granted. They take for granted the source from which they get things. Like I say, I mean, when you struggle with people that they have the entitlement mentality, it's all there. You know, you're there to help them, to guide them, to do things for them. And at times they don't even say, thank you, man. Now, this man said, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. And that's true. You say that you feel gratitude, it's like wrapping a present. You know, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. I mean, it doesn't help. It doesn't mean anything when you have not giving that present to that particular individual. Now, you see, in our nation, we have this day of Thanksgiving that at least once a year we can remind ourselves to be grateful for the things that we have, for the families that we have, the friends, the time, everything, the gifts that we have. At least once a year you can be reminded, be thankful. But like Dante says, sometimes people focus on what's after Thanksgiving, all the nice deals that we're going to have, but be grateful for that as well. You know what I mean? So it just appears that being grateful, showing an attitude of Thanksgiving doesn't come natural for many of us. We had to be educated. We had to be trained to always be grateful for the things that we have. Because for the provisions that we get. Now, when we go through the psalm, it's interesting. The book of Psalms, psalms means literally song. They're songs that the Jewish people had. And David is one of the writers. He wrote a lot of psalms that were used in the Jewish worship. That's why sometimes like the worshipers always called to praise the Lord, to thank the Lord. Now, when you do a study about it from the Psalms, you're going to realize that there's so many types of Psalms. There were Psalms of lament. There were Psalms of wisdom. There were just Psalms of praise or hymn, they call them. Just praise the Lord, all my soul. You know, praise the Lord. There's also Psalms of thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. You know, and so as you go, sometimes you might read the Psalms. You have no idea which of those is the one that you're reading. So many types of Psalms throughout the Bible. And today I want to talk to you about one. We're going to read the whole thing. It's Psalm 136, and that Psalm is about thanksgiving. And it starts like that. Give thanks to the Lord. It's almost the worshipers are commanded. It's a command to give thanks to the Lord. And then you're going to find out why. What's the reason that you and I should come before him with this attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving? Psalm 136, halfway through your Bibles, and this is one of the Psalms of King David. He starts to say, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. Now, that phrase, when I go all through the Psalm, give thanks to the Lord, to the God of gods, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. You know what? I'm going to read it and you guys are going to repeat. His love endures forever. You ready? To him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day. Come on, you're getting tired now. The moon and stars to govern by night. There we go. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arms to him who divided the Red Sea and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the desert, who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their lands as an inheritance to his servant Israel. To the one who remembered us in our low state and freed us from our enemies, and who gives food to every creature, give thanks to the God of heaven. We just did exactly what the Jewish people would do. Now you had a little taste of their worship. They did a lot. Like somebody would just do a part and the whole congregation will reply. A lot of churches do that too. So it's just like, I mean, I needed help reading all that His love endures forever. And I ask you, thank you very much for that. So give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. So the psalm already inviting the worshiper to come into worship with this attitude of gratitude, of thanksgiving. And then he started, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Why should you and I be grateful? He answered that right there. He says, for the Lord is good. I mean, a lot of times we hear about the Lord being good and we don't quite get how good truly He is. And another thing that we need to understand, His goodness does not depend on my opinion. His goodness does not depend on what you think of God. His goodness is who He is. God is good. He cannot be bad. You know what I'm saying? That's who He is. I mean, everything God does is good. And at times, yes, I get it. Sometimes, like, it doesn't feel good right now. But that's your opinion. And the Lord didn't ask you for it. You know what I mean? He is who He is. And one of His attributes, the Bible talks, I mean, we know about His love, His justice. But one of His attributes is that He is good. He cannot lie. He cannot be bad. Or maybe a little good. No, He is good. His goodness of God. And you see that all through the Bible. That, you know, everything that He did, He said, He created, it was good. Because that's really who God is. Scripture in James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like a shifting shadow. You and I should be grateful that God is good and He will not change. You know what I mean? It's like some of us change depending on the circumstances, depending on some situations and things, but God will not change. He's who He was, He is who is, and He will be who He is. He will still be the same. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the Bible describes that He is good. And He said, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Say, God is good. And you know, we have that song, God is good, all the time. I mean, we sing it, but sometimes we don't really go into the theology. That's true, that He is good, and His goodness is not dependent upon what people think of Him. He is He's in a different category than us. He's God, and we're not. So He is good. And if we can be good today, based on our opinion, it's because we get it from our Father. You know, we got that quality, but even our quality of being good is not that great as He is. The goodness of God, I mean, perhaps you never heard of it, like how good He is. Every good and perfect gift is from Him. And look at what He says. He says, give thanks three times. Give thanks to the Lord for His good. And then He goes, give thanks to the God of gods and give thanks to the Lord of lords. This God, I mean, you know, in Mesopotamia and those regions, those nations, they worship other deities, other gods, which were not God at all. Remember the 10 plagues that Yahweh brought upon Egypt? It was a shame in their gods. Egypt had a god for the crops. Egypt had a god for the river. Egypt had a god for, they called the sun Ra. I mean, they were. And so the Lord, Yahweh, came, and every plague that He sent to the land of Egypt was almost like punishing their own gods, saying, your gods are not God enough because I can just shame you. You know, I mean, the god of the sun, and the Lord, whoops, just darkness over the land. The God of the crops and the harvest, God sent hail and destroyed everything. So it's like your God is not powerful as this God we're talking about, because this one is above all the gods. Yahweh is his name. He said, David said, give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. We talk about that, and we know that Yahweh is the Lord of lords. There's no Lord like him. That's his name, the Lord, Jehovah God, Yahweh. And then he talks about his love endures forever. Now, you see God's goodness through his creation. There was a king, secular king in the Bible. He was related to Saddam Hussein. In fact, Saddam Hussein came from this particular individual. When they captured Saddam Hussein in that year when George Bush, I think, was the president, they found a plaque that says, Saddam Hussein, son of Nebuchadnezzar. There was a king in the Bible named Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. And remember when Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown into the lake of fire because Nebuchadnezzar had created the statue. He says, all nations, when the sound of the music comes, everybody needs to bow down to the statue. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, sorry, we can't. We worship Yahweh. We only bow down to our God. But Nebuchadnezzar say, oh, you're not going to bow down to my statue? Throw him into the fiery furnace. They threw him into the fiery furnace, and God miraculously came to the point that Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, hold on. I commanded you guys to throw three, but I see four. And the appearance of the other one seems like an angel. I mean, you know the story. They came out of the fire. The Bible says that not even the smell of the clothes, there was no smell of fire in them because the Yahweh, the God of gods, came down and provided. But what I love most about the story is the reaction of this secular king, Nebuchadnezzar, because later on he commanded, he made a decree, because he could, you know, he was the king. He says, curse be anybody who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then he says, no God can save like their God. So no God can save like Yahweh. This is the testimony of a king that did not even believe in Yahweh. And because he saw how powerful this God is, he made a decree that everybody will bow down to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because those three men stood up for him. They understood how great. We sing, how great is our God. But sometimes I don't think we quite get it. The music sounds good, but you understand when we say, how great is our God? He's greater than any circumstances you're going through right now. He's greater than that test result that you're panicking right now. He's still greater than that. He's greater than the situation you're dealing with right now. How great is our God? And that king says, no God saved like him. No God saved like this, Yahweh. So give thanks to the Lord because he's above all gods. The God you and I worship is way bigger than any gods that people can have today. Amen? So that's the reason why you and I should be grateful. Then you see the goodness of this God displayed through creation. One of the things you read in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, when God created the universe, there's a phrase that says, and the Lord saw that it was what? Good. Of course. If it comes from him, it got to be good. Because we talk about goodness is part of who God is. So, and the Lord saw that it was good, what he created. His works are good. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4 says, I will proclaim the name of Yahweh. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect. And all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Proclaim Yahweh. So we see God's goodness in what he does. His deeds. Marvelous. And every time you read a psalm, you have that expression through the writers and the listeners, like, God is way over there, but he's so great, he's so good. And it just, because of who he is, that will motivate me, that will prompt me to give him thanks. Another thing that you see in the Psalm 136 is, one of the points that David highlights is, he is a righteous judge, his judgments are always right. That's another thing too that you and I need, sometimes we struggle because we see our justice system in our society would not be perfect, but when we think about America compared to other nations in the world, we do have one of the best ones. You might not want to go to jail in Mexico or the Dominican Republic because they throw you in jail whether there's evidence against you or not. Here, at least, they had to find you guilty before they lock you up. So in terms of like government and justice system, ours is not perfect, but it's one of the best in the world. Now, that's just humanly speaking. When we think about God, it says that he's the righteous judge. I mean, just that he is good, and his goodness is just like way beyond our galaxy. His justice is always perfect. Now, you and I, again, I get it. Sometimes we feel like, God, what happened? I mean, this is unfair. This is how we think. And no, whatever God does is right. Whatever God does is just. He doesn't get up one day in the morning and say, like, man, maybe my hand was too much on that person. Maybe I should just take that away. He knows why he allows me to go through trials. He knows why he lets you do that, even though at times you're despairing. He knows exactly what's going on. You and I only see that particular incident right here. He's a righteous judge. Look what he said, what the psalmist is talking about. Some of the things that he did, his judgment. It says, to him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. He spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern by night. And then verse 10, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. A lot of times people read the Bible and they say, like, man, the God of the Old Testament, he's mad. Like, they only see that part. They don't realize what God's doing in Egypt. Why is God punishing Egypt? But if you do that, if you examine the history, Egypt was punishing who? God's people. And God said, it's payback time now. God allowed that to go on for 450 years. And finally, he used a man to bring his people back. And it was with a mighty hand, stretched out arm, he said. It was through war, fighting. So he struck down the firstborn of Egypt. That was the last plague. And then finally, the Egyptians let the Israelites go into the wilderness. He brought Israel out from among them. His love endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea. And then he provided for the Israelites, divided the Red Sea, and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. And then look at all these things. To him who led his people through the desert, who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Because all those things, that all that killing that God's doing is judgment time on those people. Sometimes people, they say nonsense when it comes to God. And they kind of like, oh, God's not going to, just as much as he loves you, his love, but he's also a just God. He's a God of justice. And if you want to go against him, I would not highly recommend it. Because, you know, you're not going to be able to win the battle. So God knows what's going on, and eventually he will, all sins, they have consequences. Eventually he will punish those people for the sins. When we talk about judgment day, the Bible says there's a judgment one day, a judgment coming. And God is the righteous judge, and he will judge the people. When people say, only God can judge me, that's a lie. The government can judge you, and I guarantee you, you start speeding up, you're going to have a red light behind you, somebody else going to judge you. When people say only, you know, that's not, yes, God will judge you at the end of the day when judgment day comes, but there's so many other things going on. His judgments are always right, are always just. He struck down the Israelites' enemy. He poured out judgment on those who came against his own people. Now, one of the things that we know about God also, that he judged his own people. Because we know that there were so many of them that he said, I'm going to give you the land. But we know by history that many of them did not even make it. Why? Because God said, you don't behave, you will not make it. And there was a third generation that did not even enjoy the privilege of the land because they forfeited God's blessing. As a righteous judge, he expects certain things from his people. And even his own people ended up not even making it to the land. Only a few of the first generation, Joshua and Caleb, not even Moses and Aaron made it. When I think about God as a judge, I would say he means exactly what he says, and he says what he means. Right? There's no wishy-washy with God. If he says that's what it is, you better believe it is. Don't argue with him. So look at what he did to those people. And so the psalmist, David, many centuries and years later, he's talking about saying, give thanks to the Lord because we are here today because he judged the Egyptian. He judged Og and all those Amorites. And he did all that because of us, because of his great love, because his works are perfect. He talks about. So give thanks to God because of his goodness, because of his love, because of his justice. He is the God of justice. He is the righteous judge. So the writer is reminiscing about history. And even in their own history, he can see God's been providing for us. How? He led us. He opened the Red Sea for us, but he also judged people when they came against us. People say, and you know, there's some truth to that. Sometimes, even in our society, a lot of people don't want to mess with Israel because they still believe that God has something for that nation. And you can see this. There's some evidence to that because Israel is such a tiny country, surrounded by enemies, and they cannot overpower it. And how is that with all the technology we have, and you still cannot? Because they don't want to. I mean, the Bible said that Israel is like, has a special place in the minds of God. And you see there, God punished the enemies of Israel. He embarrassed them. He struck down the Egyptians. He struck down great kings. Great kings, because you guys were not truly kings. There's one above all of you. And the writer lists a couple of kings by name. Sihon and Og. Great kings back in those days, but Yahweh came and poured out judgment. Why? Because they were messing around with Israel. God said, when you mess around with my people, you're messing around with me. If you go against them, you're coming against me. Saul of Tarsus found that out the hard way too. He had to be knocked down for him to realize Jesus encountered him as he's going out to do his job of persecuting Christians. And Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul thought he was persecuting Christians. And now God said, why are you persecuting me, man? You're kicking against the goat. You don't even know what you're doing, man. And Saul later on became Paul, and he found out the hard way. God is a righteous judge. God's mighty acts, his great works on behalf of his people, it's a true evidence that he loved them that much, that he would not let the enemies overtake him. He did all those things because his love endured forever. And the Bible talks about that in the Old Testament. From one generation to another, his love will endure forever. That phrase, his love endures forever, is that his love will never run out of gas. It's like the song, your love never fails. He never, you know, that's what the Bible is talking about. That even though sometimes people say that they fall out of love, God will not fall out of love on us. We might abandon God. We might just run the other way, but he's still loving us and he's still willing to pursue us and say, come back to me. I love you this much. And the psalm writer says, you and I got to be grateful to God that his love endures forever. Because of his great love, we are not consumed. Because he could have killed us back then when we misbehaved. And still he brought us here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He struck down those great kings because they came against God's children. So God's action on your behalf and my behalf should always prompt you to be grateful, to be thankful for what he does. And I know if I gave you guys the opportunity to just get over here and say, why are you grateful? I mean, we spend all day on the things that you can see God's provision in the past. And you can say, I am here today. I am who I am today because God's been overseeing every aspect, every phase of my life. His love endures forever. His love never runs out of gas. It's always constant, going, because that's his goodness and justice is the same. That's who he is. The Bible says that God is love. And if we know what love is today, it's because God taught us. If we can love each other, not as perfect as God, but if we can have even a glimpse of love in us, in our DNA, it's because our Father placed that in us. His goodness, his love. You see evidence of God even in us today, in our creation. So God's action on your behalf should always prompt you to say, thank you, Lord. You're an amazing God. David called him the God of gods. He called him good. He said, the God of gods, the Lord of lords. I wonder what you call him in your own life. Moses called him the great I am. The Lord, Yahweh, that's his name, he said. Man, how there's power in his name. And that's the God that you and I worship. But I think the psalmist tried to remind us that as you go through life, always pay attention and be grateful for the things that he allows in your life. You see, his love disciplined the Israelites. I mean, that's a concept that in our society people don't get. Apparently, when you love somebody, you don't discipline them. Well, God loved us, and he gave the Israelites a lot of pow-pows, you know, because they needed it. And it was discipline. I mean, for 40 years in the wilderness, they were just going around. God could have just shown him where they needed to go, but 40 years of just training. And even after the 40 years, only a few of them make it because they just, you know, in those 40 years, some of them complain over there because they didn't have food or water. And God's providing through Moses. I mean, whatever he does is out of love. Whatever God does for us is because he loves us. Even when he allows us to go through the desert and the wilderness, he still loves you. He's not done with you yet. For whatever reason, in his sovereign will, he allows you to go through that. That you and I, you know, it's not fun to go through this, through the storm. We know we've been there. We've all been there. But for whatever reason, God allows that storm to come. It's because he's preparing us for something bigger. We don't know, but he does. He's not done with you because you are his child and he loves you. But love means that he will discipline us when we need it at times. And you see that through the Israelites. After they were free from slavery, God sent them back because they just didn't get it. And David's talking about his love endures forever. You and I should always be grateful that we know that we serve a God that will never stop loving us, even when at times you and I might become unlovable. You know, he's still like, I love you that much. And, you know, and I want to prepare you to be more like my son, Jesus. You see, his actions on your behalf should always motivate you to be grateful for who he is. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And look what he says in verse 23. To the one who remembered us in our low state, his love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. And now, you see, those two were past. He remembered us in the past. And he freed us in the past. And now, this is the present tense. He says, and he gives food to every creature. Even the food that you and I have that is being provided. Yes, you have a job, but God provided you that job. Everything is being because of him. And he said, give thanks to the Lord of Lords because he provides for you. He remembers you when you are in your low state. He remembers you when you are in the valley that, you know, you're going through the storm. He remembers you. Isaiah, the Israelites were struggling because they told the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, the Lord does not even care about us. Our cause is hidden from the Lord. Imagine that. Like, you think that's even true, that whatever you're going through, God doesn't know? And then God had a word through Isaiah to the people, The word that Yahweh sent to Isaiah was, have you not known? Has not everyone told you? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow weary and tired, and his understanding no one can fathom. Even young men grow tired, and people will stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will walk and not get faint. They will run and not get tired. Tell the Israelites that they think that I don't know what they're going through right now. The Lord is the everlasting God. And so he remembers, he knows what we go through in this life. He knows my situation, my inadequacy. He knows everything, my lows and highs. He knows everything, my ups and downs. And he's the same one who provides food for every creature in heaven, under heaven. And then he says at the end, give thanks to the Lord of heaven. His love endures forever. Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for who he is. Now, as you and I spend time with family and friends this week, you know, doing a Thanksgiving celebration, don't forget to thank him for who he is, for how good God has been towards you this year. Don't forget to thank him for his love, how amazing love he has for you and I. Don't forget to thank him for his provision. I mean, he's been providing for you. You're here today. He's still providing because you are here. You are still alive. He's provided health. He's provided clothing, shelter. I mean, you even driving a car. He provided you a ride. I mean, you know, how many times, please, let's not have the attitude of entitlement that a lot of people have towards God. Like, oh, God, you're supposed to bless me. No, he blesses me if he wants to. But he already has blessed us in so many ways that we cannot even imagine. And so as we spend time in Thanksgiving that we call, let us thank him for his love, grace, mercy, for his provision, for his protection. He's still protecting us from things that we cannot even see at times. Let us be grateful to the one from whom all blessings flow. There was a doxology. Thank God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host, and praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then at the end says, Amen. So this is a time for us to always praise God. Like Dante said, it's not just a day that you have. Every day you breathe and you realize, oh, the earth's still rotating. The sun is still where it's supposed to be. I'm alive. Thank God. Thank God that we're still here. He hasn't come yet. And if I'm still here, I have a job to do, and so do you. So it's like, thank God that you have provided oxygen and other things for me to enjoy life. So give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever.